When I was first preparing my speech, I thought, can I really give this speech? Don't speakers have to be shining examples of how life really should be lived? I'm not that shining example. What can I share with these girls that will be helpful for them? But I hope that you can learn from mistakes that I've made. And I think it's good for me to share those mistakes. And it's good for other people to hear about them as well, so that perhaps you don't go down some of the same paths that I've traveled down. So I thought that might be most helpful, to talk about the darker side of me that I don't always want people to know about, but that I think is helpful for other people to know. When I sat in your seats, I thought of myself as, pridefully, just a good girl, an innocent girl. I knew who God was. I had him in my life. I was going to be a good Catholic. I knew what I wanted to do with my life. I had good Catholic friends from St. Agnes. We were all really tight friends. And many of us went to St. Thomas, another good Catholic school, another good environment to be in. There weren't a lot of bad influences in my life. And the kids at St. Agnes that did drugs or drank or had sex, I wasn't a part of that crowd. I didn't even really know about that crowd very much, and there wasn't a pull on me to join it. So in high school, I was pretty sheltered, pretty innocent, and I didn't have a pull to go down the wrong path. So sitting here at the speech, cover your ears, Mrs. Crock, I felt like I was hearing what I already knew. I'm a good kid. I know where I'm going in my life. I've heard this advice over and over again. I don't really need to hear it. I already know. And I don't know if I got as much out of this day as I should have, thinking the way that I did. So I hope that some of what I say can resonate with you, and you'll be able to hear what I say and be able to make better choices than I've made in my life. So I went to St. Thomas. I had good Catholic friends there. I was a good Catholic girl, and studying was really important to me. I spent most of my time in the library. I didn't get into the party groups at all. I had some good friends there, but that scene didn't interest me. Drinking didn't interest me, and I didn't date much at first. I was so intense on my studying. I got into psychology right away and was fascinated by it, and I didn't really need much else. I lived at home with my parents. I still kept in really close contact with my St. Agnes friends. So time continued much as it had in high school. There still weren't very many bad influences, bad pulls on me at all. So life was kind of easy that way with making good choices. I didn't have many bad choices to make at the time. Well, towards the end of my time at St. Agnes, about in 2003, when I was going to graduate soon, I started to wonder if I had missed out on some of the college life. The other people in my class who went out to parties on Friday night and would go dancing and would have wild stories to tell and red eyes and dark circles under their eyes Monday morning class because they'd been out partying the whole weekend. I thought, oh, there's no dancing in the library. There's no fun drinking in the library. Maybe I missed out. Maybe I wasted my college years a little bit. Sure, I got a good education, but did I have that wild fun that everybody else has had and that I didn't really have in high school? I had a lot of fun, but it wasn't that wild fun that I kind of heard about that other kids got to have. So I started to wonder if maybe I wanted to see what that scene was about a little bit and see what I had missed out on. Well, I got my opportunity. I was sitting in a computer lab at St. Thomas, and I met another psych major, a guy. He was really friendly. Turned out he was a football player. He knew everybody at St. Thomas. He was really popular. He knew of all the good parties. He had a lot of the good parties at his house. And he became interested in me. So he started to pursue me, and we began dating. And this was one of the first guys outside of high school to actively pursue a dating relationship with me. I was flattered. He was an older guy. He was a football player. Everybody knew him. And he opened some doors to me to meet a lot of other people at St. Thomas, which I hadn't had that opportunity as much before. I was so intent on my studying. So we started to date. And right away, I noticed that he kind of made fun of my innocence and my naivete and would talk about, loosen up, Abby, come out of the library, let's go to some parties, let me show you the good side of life here, let me show you that, I mean, you can drink a little, you're 21 now, you still don't even drink, just loosen up a little, let your hair down. Maybe, maybe he has something there. Maybe I have been kind of a prude. I mean, I heard that before. I was always the goody-goody in my family. I'm definitely the goody-goody. I think I was voted the teacher pleaser for the yearbook at St. Agnes my senior. Very embarrassing, not necessarily the vote of the year you want to be known as. But I'd heard that before from siblings, from friends. Loosen up, have a little fun. Come on, don't be so serious about life. So when I heard that from him, first it hurt my feelings a little bit of, I kind of like who I am. I have fun, even though I'm serious about school. But he had other ideas, and I was influenced by that, and that life interested me. Ooh, drinking, dancing, where everybody else is, where I haven't been. Maybe I should try it out. So I started to, and it got easier and easier to go to the parties, to have a little bit more to drink. And as our dating relationship continued, I think for the first month or two, we didn't kiss at all, and I wouldn't let him, and I was holding by my standards. And after we started to kiss, it got easier to do a little bit more, and it got easier to make out a little bit, and then to stay over late at his house, and then to stay till 3 or 4 in the morning. And life was going downhill a little bit. It was more difficult to pay attention in class, and my parents definitely disapproved of this guy. They saw that he was not the best influence, and they asked me to break up with him. Well, at the time I was still living at home. I could see what they were saying. I saw the red flags too. So after a little bit of fighting with them and talking through it, I decided to break up with him. It was really tough to do, but I did. And that was in 2003 when I graduated. So I went on to graduate school for psychology and dated other guys, but still always thought of this guy and always wondered, did I break up with him just because my parents told me to? Was that really the right way to go? And every time I would end another dating relationship, I'd go back to this guy, at least in my mind, and think, what am I missing out by not being with him? And why did I break up with him when I didn't want to? Well, in the graduate school that I'm in and the new friends that I have that are not from St. Agnes and not from a Catholic background, come from a perspective and promote a perspective of have fun, do what you want, do what feels right. I'd heard that in high school, but that sounds ridiculous. Who really says that? Peer pressure, do what's right, do what feels good? I grew up in such a Catholic environment but that wasn't something I heard often. So having all of my friends start to talk to me that way of, yeah, Abby, maybe you didn't explore this relationship enough. I mean, maybe you need to open your heart up to that again. If it's something that keeps coming back up and you listen to your parents before, what about you? What do you really want? Maybe they have something there. Maybe I do really want this guy. Maybe he's changed. Maybe he's better. So over this past summer, when his birthday came around, I thought, perfect excuse to call him. His birthday's come, and we hadn't talked for a couple of years. I called him up. He was excited to hear from me. And we went out to dinner. At the time, I happened to still be dating a guy that lived out of state. So we didn't see each other much. The relationship was kind of fizzling out, but we were still dating. So I went out to dinner with this guy. And I thought, I'm not going to do anything. It's been 2 years. We don't have a relationship. He's moved on. I just want to be friends. I just want to see how he's doing and what he's up to. So we went to dinner, and we had such a good time. It felt so right being with him, and that flame that we had between us, that physical attraction was there right again. I thought, this feels so right. I think I made the right choice going out with him again. So we went out for drinks after that, and we drank a lot. I was surprised how easy it was to drink so much when I'd gotten away from that. I ended up going to his house that night. I stayed over. I slept over at his house. I'd never done something like that before. But with the alcohol, the dancing, it had been so much fun. It was so easy to just sleep over. And something I would never do. I wouldn't have ever done that. It was easy to do. It felt good. It felt right. My friends were encouraging me. Yeah, if it felt right, probably was right. So the relationship continued, and it continued in that manner. He worked at a bar, and it was very easy to go to the bar with him, drink, have fun, dance, go back to his place afterwards. And I wasn't telling any of my Catholic friends about what I was doing, nor was I telling my parents. I was telling the friends that would say, feels good, feels right, go ahead, go for it. That's what I do. They were all doing it. So it felt good. I kept going down that road. And I found myself losing my standards in many different areas of my life. Not only was I going farther with him sexually than I ever thought I would with anybody, I was drinking more, I was sleeping over at his house and not getting up and being ready for school the next day. And I started to lie to parents and friends because I had to explain somehow where I was going or what I was doing, but I didn't want them to know the truth about me. I liked that image of the good Catholic girl that I always thought I was, and I didn't want to let them in on what was really going on because they would tell me not to do it, and I was having fun, and I wanted to keep doing it. But I was also feeling guilty all the time. Every time I went to his house, I felt guilty, and I would say, I'm not going to do this again. I swear I'm not sleeping over tonight. I had to pass a church to get to his house. I had to make that right turn by the church every time. And when I first started going, I'd make the sign of the cross. God, help us have a good relationship. I want to do this one right. Go by, go to his house. Next time I went, sign of the cross wasn't quite as certain. Help me to not stay over as late. Then the next time it would be, there's that church again. Oh, boy. Because I knew what I was doing wasn't right, and I was feeling so guilty about it. And it's shocking how quickly sin spreads in my life, in our lives. I thought of myself as a good girl. I don't do bad stuff. I can dabble a little bit. I can let my hair down. I can have a little bit of fun. I've been so good for so long. Everybody else is having this fun. But it wasn't working. The lying was eating away at me, and going to Mass every weekend started to be really difficult. I felt like such a hypocrite. I was being a hypocrite. How could I go to Mass and pray and pretend that I was a good Catholic when I was sleeping over at this guy's house and fooling around with him and drinking and lying to my parents and lying to my friends? And the lying was getting easier to do, and going farther sexually was getting easier to do, and skipping school and pretending I was going somewhere I wasn't when I was really headed to his house. All of that was so much easier to do as I went. And I found myself at the beginning going to confession every weekend and confessing the same sins, but trying to make it sound like it wasn't as bad. Father, it's been a week since I last confessed and I was sexually inappropriate with a guy. And I would come up with these little phrases that would make me feel a little better about what I was doing instead of being specific about what I was doing. And I'd go to different priests so that I wouldn't have to tell the same one again after just talking to him last week about what I was doing. That's not the kind of life I want to live, and that's not the kind of relationship I want to have for a husband and for my children. And this man was drinking excessively, and I was going down a similar path with him, although I wasn't quite as far along on it. Drinking didn't always interest me as much, although it was fun. But he, I think, was an alcoholic now. It was something I didn't want to admit at the time. Well, it kind of came to a head when we had a couple talks about our relationship, and I would say things like, we're going too far sexually, we really need to back off, we're both Catholic, this is not right. If we love each other, don't we want the best for each other? Are we really doing what's right? So we'd set up rules and boundaries and we'd be better for a little bit, and then it would fall apart eventually because our relationship was not built on a solid Catholic relationship with God. It was built on sexual intimacy and drinking and going out and partying, which it's not a good base for a relationship. And it destroyed the rest of the relationship. So one night I'd gathered all my guilt and courage to sit down and talk with him about this, and I was gonna tell him I couldn't keep going on in this relationship. We'd gone out drinking that night and dancing and having a good time. And when we went back to his apartment, it was dark. He lay down on the couch. He had had way too much to drink. And I sat down and I laid out everything I'm laying out for you now. I just bared my heart and soul and said, I can't live like this. I hate living like this, and I feel so guilty, and I don't want to do this to you. This is not right. We have to end it. When I stopped talking and I was shaking and sweaty and nervous about saying all this to him, I heard a snore. He'd passed out. I have no idea how much he heard of what I said. He passed out while I was laying my heart out on the line for him and telling him about this and trying to say what I needed to say. This is probably a good sign that this is not a good relationship when your boyfriend passes out as you're trying to have a serious relationship talk. So I went back home from that. But I knew that even giving these talks with him and trying to end the relationship when he wasn't even listening, I always went back to him, and I didn't want to let him go. It was fun. It felt good. He made me feel pretty and sexy being with him, and I wasn't getting that in other areas of my life, and I wanted to have that with him. So I knew that even though I felt so guilty and I tried to have these talks, I probably couldn't let him go on my own. I'm a lot weaker than I ever thought I was, and I fall to temptation a lot easier than I ever thought I would when I was younger. So I prayed about it and said, I know this is wrong. God, you have to take this relationship away from me because I don't know that I can let it go. I'm too weak. I'm too attached. It feels too good. I like it too much. so I prayed that prayer, not really wanting to, kind of, not yet. Can I have another week? Can I have a little bit more fun with him? Well, after I prayed that prayer, he stopped calling me. He stopped contacting me. We talked every day. I probably stayed over a couple times a week. I have no idea. To this day, this wasn't even all that long ago, but I don't know why he stopped calling, except by the grace of God, by a miracle, he completely stopped calling me. It's miraculous that that happened, and it helped me to come back to my relationship with God and to realize how destructive that relationship had been. And I think what I want to impart from telling you about this is that sitting there, I felt like, I'm a good Catholic girl. I went to this school. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. I've got the good Catholic friends. It's so easy to fall into sin, and it's shocking how quickly it spreads through your life and how quickly I was lying and drinking and sleeping over with him when I thought, I'm never going to do any of that. I'm not that kind of girl. But I am that kind of girl, and everybody has that side to them. Everybody has that draw in them to do what's wrong. So even though I feel like it, I when I was writing the speech that I felt like I had nothing good to say and no shining example to give you, but I can give you the example of falling and letting you know that it's a miserable relationship when it's built on sexual intimacy and drinking and partying. It sounds fun and it looks glamorous, and the world makes it look glamorous, but it's guilt-ridden, it's unhappy, it's unpleasant, and it's not good. It can't grow into something better. So I hope that at least from hearing my story, you can look out for those draws, the party life, the glow of the party life when it's not real. And I've been down the path. It's not a happy path to be down. What's helped me come back up and what I think drew me out of that was going to Mass every Sunday. No matter how guilty I felt or how hypocritical I felt or how much I was drawn to that life, I still went to Mass, even though it was maybe with my head down and I couldn't go to communion because I hadn't gone to confession and I didn't want anybody to see me, and I didn't want them to see I wasn't going to communion because then they would know that I was sinning and I wanted to look good and Catholic when I wasn't being that inside. But if you go to Mass at least every weekend, you have that reminder. So every Sunday, I had to face my sins and say, I'm here at Mass, I'm here before the Eucharist, and I know what I'm doing, and I know I'm not living the life I'm supposed to live. And I think that's the only thing that kept me from going down further on this path. So I really encourage you to keep that up and to keep up a prayer life and reading the Bible, and to remember that we do have a fallen nature, and it's so easy to go down that path. But if you stay close to God, hopefully you won't make the same mistakes that I have made. And you might think of me when you're offered drinks at school or when you're with a guy and he wants to go farther with you than you should. It's not worth it. And I hope you can stay strong in your faith. And maybe my little talk can be a reminder to you of that. Thanks for listening.